But, he said, you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame. And you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. You took some of your clothes, made for yourself high places of various colors, and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor happen. You also took your beautiful jewels, made of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you. You took them and made for yourself male images, with which you might play the harlot, that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them, and offered my oil, my incense. Now notice the word my oil, my incense, my gold, my silver, all those things. My bread, he said in verse 19, also my bread, which I give you. All right? Fine flour, oil, honey, with which I fed you, you would offer before them for your sweet aroma. So it had happened, declares the Lord. And he continued to talk about how they misused, because of time, please, I want to stop, all these things that he had given them. And that's our message, all right, specifically for today. Now, why did I read all of this? Let me just stop. It's quite long. That's why I'm trying to interrupt, all right, so that we don't spend all the time reading it. And we already read many of those verses in previous times. Now, the point I'm making from all of this reading, all right, is this. You will see that God blessed these people after he had called them. And that's a type of the church today. It's a type of you and a type of me. You see that God blessed them with all kinds of things. With flour, that referred to the basic necessities of life. You have food to eat, you have a house to live in, you have the basic things of life. And they talked about oil, all right? And that was referring to the luxuries of life. God blessed the church. It gets to a point that as a church, because the gospel of prosperity is a correct gospel. I believe that statement that the late Archbishop Idaosa used to make. He said, my God is not a poor God. I believe in the gospel of prosperity, all right? If you believe in it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right? Now, see, God blesses us with things. He does. He gives us money. He gives us life. He gives us health. After he saved us, you understand, he began to bless us with things. And that's what he was talking about. For you to have money enough to eat is a blessing of God. For you to have money more than you need for yourself is a blessing of God. For you to have a single room that you call your own is a blessing of God. For you to now have 10 rooms in which you are using only 4 is still the blessing of God. That is what the Bible calls oil. That's what oil is. It's luxury. You have more than you really need for yourself. It's also the blessing of God. For you to have all these things is the blessing of God. And there is nothing inherently wrong with any one of them. Like I keep on saying, owning a private jet is not in itself a sin. A jet is a piece of material property. Do you get my point? It's the same thing like shoes. It's the same category as cars. Like motorbikes, it depends on who's buying. Yes. Like I keep on saying, some of you that want to criticize somebody else, the car you are driving is not a private plane. It's an aircraft carrier in some villages. That's true. Somebody told me about poverty once. He said a young man in Bangladesh got married. And the only reason the girl married him was that he was the first person she saw that had a pair of shoes. You know, you that go and buy a car to show off. That guy bought shoes to show off because everybody else was walking barefoot. So these things, they are relative. Very, very relative. All right? Very relative. So God blessed us with a lot of things. This is the problem of Christianity. I'm talking about Christian culture. Now, I mentioned it before. Remember we said the other time, we may be in the world, but we are not of the world. What God gets angry about, which we have seen here, is what we do with the things that he gave to us. Everything, every single thing that God gives you has a purpose. Every single thing. One day I looked at my life. You know, I'm a very, well, God, I'm getting better. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I just wanted to explain something to your people. You understand? I'm a very thankful person. I hardly complain about what I don't have. I'm not sure my wife has ever heard me complain that I don't have something. That's a complaint. No, I'm not sure she has ever heard, because I can't remember doing it. I will sit down sometimes, do this. They say, I'm at their mates in America. And I always wondered. I said, what about my mates in Bangladesh? I don't know whether you get my point. Why is it only America you are seeing?
What about my mate in South Sudan? That has always been my attitude. When I teach students sometimes here, medical students, I used to tell them, I said, listen, all of you are making us and insulting the country and all of that. I said, I hope you know, if you were born Americans, 90% of those of you here do not have the money to come to a college of medicine. I said, I hope you know. Which is a matter of fact. One of our brothers the other day was in the U.S. for a long time. He decided that being a doctor was better for his life. After he had been there for a long time, he wanted to now study medicine. He had been in the U.S. for a long time. You know what he did? He went to the Caribbean islands. He left the United States. Went to the Caribbean islands because that's the only way he could afford it. If he did go to College of Medicine in America, he foresee Pepe. So I used to tell myself, you better be thankful. You can say that, look at the classroom, it's not air-conditioned. I said that you are in a classroom at all. It's worthy of worship God every morning, afternoon, and night. Yes, God made me like that. I've always, for a long time, I will take a glass of water, stare at it, and start thanking God that I have it to drink. And you'll be like, oh, God, this is tropical Africa. Rain is falling. I don't care. I take a glass of water, and I thank God for it. So what am I talking about? I'll tell you. So some time ago, a trivial thing happened. It's trivial. But just it's my typical self. I magnify little things that God does for me. My wife traveled. She was arriving from the UK. So I just picked my... When are you going to arrive? She told me the plane was going to land very, very... Maybe like an odd hour. Maybe like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. I said, that's not a good time for a woman to come out alone and look for a taxi. So what do we do? I said, no problem. I picked my phone and I called Chima. Chima, where are you? I'm in Lagos, sir. All right, my wife is arriving tomorrow night. So and so time. Please be at the airport to wait for her. Yes, sir. Chima took a car, drove to the airport very early in the morning and was waiting for my wife to come out. Carried all her load, everything. Carried her around and finally dropped her in Digi's place in Lagos. My wife said, okay, she'll come to Enugu on Sunday. She'll leave church. I said, okay, she'll attend service. Then her flight will be maybe around 1 or 2 o'clock. But all right, okay, I picked my phone. And I called Namdi. Hey, Namdi, how far are they, sir? My wife will be leaving church. You know, almost like an instruction. Attend her service, because the church has like 3 services or 4. Attend her service and wait for her. After service, take her to the airport for me, please. He said, that's the smallest thing. No problem, sir. Do you get my point? I just asked Nene, and that's it. I just made my wife's life easy just sitting down here. Why? Because virtually everywhere, I know people that will do things like this for me. You know, I want something in Abuja. I just pick my phone. Oh, but when I come to Enugu, pick this thing for me. Bring it when you are coming. No problem. So one day I thought about it. What is it? I don't take anything for granted. Water, I don't take it for granted. Food, I don't take it for granted. So that day I thought about it. I said, why is it that somebody will just be doing things like this for me? Is it because I'm special? That's what I'm talking about. I reasoned about it. I came to the conclusion there must be a purpose. Are you getting my point? I came to the conclusion, of course, there is a purpose. Not as if I came to it. I was just trying to identify what is the purpose. And I thought to myself, now there are different ways to interpret it. Some will say, you see, I always knew I was a big man. That is what is called pride, and you're about to fall. After a while, everybody will start denying you favors. And you won't know why. I told myself simply, it is because God says in simple terms, I'm using simple terms now, you shouldn't have too much stress so that you can output quality word to bless this earth with. That is why I try my best not to run up and down on Saturday, say I'm going from one wedding to the other. Because when I do too much of that, I can't preach a good gospel. That is why I'm very careful. You know, that day, I was talking to my sister, and my mom was just talking. Hey, Akure, beautiful place, built house here. And then, I said, what will I do with it? He said, you rent it out. I said, you see, you don't understand. It's not just about income. It's about stress. Where a man's treasure is, there's heart to be also. I said, you want to take my heart and put it in a place that's like, how many kilometers? Like 500 kilometers away from where I am. They wonder when that when so that when that rain blows, what they call it, when storm blows off the roof, they call me. It is not every material thing that's a blessing if you know how to assess your life properly. He said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I am very careful. Okay, the other day, one of my colleagues told me that, Pastor, try it now, because I work in the university and hospital. Most of you here know. You know, he was going for a course. He's going to be gone for about 1 month to go and learn something on, one thing. He said, I should try now and go. Now I said, do I look like I'm planning to go anywhere? Is it a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I have just realized, I won't give you details about my life, all right? But I've realized what my life is about, how God arranged my life. I don't just fill it with all kinds of nonsense. The other day, a colleague of mine, we were working on a project together. He told me, I'm supposed to work on something. So my advantage for my promotion and all of that in the office. So when he couldn't get me to move after many months, he told me something. He said, oh, God, tell me the truth. Do you know something I don't know? When is Jesus coming back exactly? He said, it looks like you know the date because... No, the guy said it though. He said, look, let us know because it looks like what is pushing us is not pushing you. All of us are moving. Let's become professors. And you just seem so relaxed. Hey, I did not explain it to him. Say, you don't understand. There's a way I assess my life. There's what I call promotion. It may not be what everybody else is calling promotion. Do you understand? I know the reason why God planted me where I am. At least I think I do. And until I'm corrected further, I have to live according to what I already understand. Listen, everything God has given you and given me in this life, there is a purpose for it. There is a purpose. Maybe later I might get there. You will see, for example, God said, you took my silver and you took my gold and my silver. There are two ways to look at gold and silver. The first one, which is obvious to everybody, is that gold and silver represent wealth. And that's not a lie. It represents wealth. There's a reason why God gave you money. There is. And it does not include the reckless spending many people do that I see. Now, I don't know, let me just say this briefly about gold and silver referring to wealth, all right? I think I have to develop that one further later, okay? On what to do with gold and silver. There was a man, you know the story, whose land produced abundantly. And the man said, what will I do that I have so much crop? I will say to my soul, Luke chapter 12, well, don't bother opening to it. Don't bother. I'll just read. All right? But you know the story anyway. He said, I will tear down my barns. Yes, thank you. And build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And we know how the Lord responded to that. God looked at him and said, he said, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now, who will own what you have prepared? Now, you will see, it is not prosperity that's the problem here. Are you getting my point? Abundance was not the problem. God gave him the abundance. The problem was what the abundance did to him. You know, sometimes when we are interpreting scriptures, we interpret scriptures using the lives of people who can't carry glory. What I mean is this. They said, when I was young, they said, why don't Christians wear earrings that is born again Christian? Why don't they wear earrings and jewelry and stuff like that? And the explanation I was given was that when the people of Israel left Egypt, they used it to build a golden calf that they worshipped. And the idea, okay, so if we don't use it to build a golden calf, is there any problem with it? Are you getting my point? Now, people have other explanations. But of course, you cannot use the life of those who decided to disobey God to judge whether somebody should use his jewelry or shouldn't. Because those things in themselves don't have any character. Prosperity here also has no character. It's just money. It is the fellow who's handling it that now gives character to it. Do you get the point I'm making? This man here, his prosperity in itself was not a problem. But why did God give it to him? He missed the point. And when he missed the point, we saw the result in his life, which I'm not going to in details now. All right? Now, a lot of people, if God gives them extra money, they think it is for extra enjoyment. You know, I told you that there are two things I want to say about silver and gold. I'm watching my time. Let me see which one of them I can say quickly. There are two sides to it. I'm taking the first one, silver and gold being prosperity. Now, let me say something to you quickly. If God gives you something and you misuse it, the use of it, which is the misuse, all right, is going to injure you, is going to hurt you. If money is hurting anybody, know that fellow is misusing it. If the fellow got the money legitimately, there are two sides of money. There's money that is stolen, it came wrongly, and for that reason, it came with a wrong spirit. There's nothing you can do. You can't tithe and give offering, first fruit or second fruit, to remove the curse upon that money. You can't. The only thing you can do is to walk away from it, if the money is evil. But it's not every money that's evil. Most money that people have is not really bad. They worked for it, they labored, you know, they may have been covetous, but they labored. The money is good. And a lot of times, God actually is the one blessing people. Let me quickly say something to you. You were in university, you were in school, you had classmates, you were not the brightest of them, you left school, you got the best job, your job is paying 10 times what your colleagues are earning all put together. Only you. You're not lucky. Let me explain something to you. You are not lucky. It's just life. It's like saying that my car is blue, yours is green, so I'm lucky. There's no luck in it. In fact, there's a problem. You know, James said, mourn, you rich. Yes. If you have too much money, we are Christians. I'm not talking to Muslims, I'm not talking to unbelievers. As a Christian, if you have plenty money, there's a problem. When I say there's a problem, there's no problem with having plenty money. There's a problem with how you spend it, which brings you under judgment. What a lot of people do is start living the luxuries that they only watch on television. You see a joker who cannot spare a jacuzzi. Yet, all he's thinking about is renting a house that has a jacuzzi. Then on the first 2 days he enters a jacuzzi, he realizes it's a waste of time. But he has already spent money. Are you getting my point? A lot of people spend their money. When God has blessed you, let me tell you, you have to be careful. And if you are listening to this and you are rich, I'm talking to you. You have to be careful. We are talking to Christians. Every gift that God gives you must be properly used. Otherwise, it brings judgment to you. Some people are very good with preaching. Let me just say this. Every gift, you know, I said to you, that God gave you must be properly used. Otherwise, what does it do? It brings judgment. Some are very rich. So what do they do with their money? They flaunt wealth. Man, it's been a hot weekend. What's going on? So let me go to London to go and relax. Let me say it to you straight. Don't say, you know, there's no, just the way I like it. Go to Abuja. The hotels there are air-conditioned. Why are you going to Abuja? I like Onitsha. You know, and you enter Onitsha GRA. There are some hotels there. From there, you are seeing the River Niger. Your peace of mind will come back to you. Nobody knows you are there. This one of flying all over the world, you just want to go and relax your brain in Switzerland, is worldliness. You say, Pastor Banky, you said that? Yes, I said so. Coming from you, is not surprising? Yes, it is. Even me, I'm surprised I'm saying it. It's not a sign. You know, sometimes when I see Christians, you know, people become rich, they start going on holidays recklessly. It's very common. I see it. Is holiday bad? No. Who says so? Seeing the world, is it bad? No. But just be careful. I'm just letting you know that everything that God gives you must be used for the purpose for which he gave you. Otherwise, you bring judgment for yourself. I must make that one very clear. People start buying cars they don't need just because they are competing with somebody else. Just because they can afford it. Listen, all I'm telling you today is be careful. I can't talk in detail because when you get to certain levels, all right, in practical things, you have to become very careful. You know, you can't judge the things of other people. You can just talk, you know, give general principles, let people adapt it to their lives. All I'm telling you is be careful. The second part to that, I'll get to that, the other part of faith later, of silver and gold. Let me see, sit on this silver and gold as money. I want to talk briefly about what I call counting your possessions, which is what the problem is for Christians. They don't know how to count their possessions. I've heard people say that while others were building houses, I was giving my money away. And they say with regret. I need to explain that thing about counting your possessions. Very important. Because that's why people make the mistake. We are spiritual people. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we are spiritual people. That's what we are as Christians. And we understand that invisible things are real. No, we're talking about Christian culture. I buy a plot of land, I build a house, I buy the land for 10 million, and I build the land house for 25 million. Everything, maybe current day value as a reason, is now worth about 50 million, all right? So how much does it have 50 million worth of property? As an example. Okay, I do it again somewhere else, 100 million. Okay, I do it where it's even more expensive, maybe I now worth 200 million naira in landed property. Someone has said the man is rich. Now, if you tell me I'm rich, let me just tell you simply, you are worldly. If I judge that I am rich, let me tell you simply, I am worldly. As a Christian, that doesn't mean you are rich, it doesn't mean you are poor, it just means you own those houses. Please bear that in mind. I'm talking about Christian culture. He said, if Mr. Jalekoko had done what you did, by now he will have that money also. You know what you don't realize? Is that Mr. Jalekoko also had my own money. But the way God led him was that he took his money and decided that instead of investing it in landed property, I am going to go to a few churches, a few places, a few schools, and set up a small scholarship for people who can pay their fees so that their lives can be different. So he spent the 35 million I spent on that first house, he spent it and gave it away completely. Right now, he doesn't have that money. You check his total material worth, beyond what he's eating and drinking and where he's living himself, he doesn't have anything significant. Let me say to you again, you are worldly if you say he made a mistake. Because his own investment, in quotes now, is also tangible. You just can't see it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. What he did with money is real. One day, let me tell you something which Christians must say all the, we must never forget. One day, tell your neighbor, one day. One day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will give an account for how you spent that 35 million naira. The day will come, literally. You say, bank, okay, we'll give you 35 million naira. What do we do with it? Building the house, is it bad? No. I didn't say it was bad. But it is not superior to the man who just shed out his own 35 million for whatever purpose that God wanted him to share it. It is wrong of Christians to count how much they have by what can be shown materially. Stocks, bonds, investments, landed property, you know, savings. You can't count it. There was a man here who saved heavily. He died for it. Talking Christian culture. It's crucial. So if you want to count your wealth, in fact, you can only count the amount. Listen, anything that's not stirred up by faith in your heart is not wealth. I told you, just use as an example, that may help some people. The first time I ever bought stocks, you know, buy stocks and all of that. The first time. And all my life, I refused to buy because, for one simple reason. People say, buy stocks, no, tomorrow you may need money. I said, the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. What's your problem? And that's a scripture. That's scripture. Look, it's the word of God. Don't, you can't reason it away. It's the word of God. You can't reason it away. It's the word of God. I must never, ever, ever do anything because of fear of tomorrow. He said, you know, your children, for one guy came to speak where I was one day. He said, a day will come, your children will need to go to university. I said, so? He said, it's good to build up stock now for them. I said, it's called laying up treasure on the earth. Are you blind? Is it not in your Bible? You are asking me to lay up treasure on the earth because one day, Akinola and his brothers and his sister, they want to go to university. I said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's still the word of God. So, I said, please forget this thing. Finally, one day, Charles Soludo came and said, Nigerian banks, you must consolidate. Minimum capitalization for you to remain in business, 20 billion naira. Abi? Okay, 25. If you want to be this level of bank, you go to 50 billion, finally 100. Anyway, noise everywhere. And I came here, stood on this platform. I said, it is time for Nigerians to rescue the banks. That was the first time I put my money in. God is my witness. I was practicing what I preached here. Because I said the economy must grow. You must understand, when Charles Soludo said that time, Vision 2020, that Nigeria will be amongst the top 20 economies in the world by the year 2020. Many of you are witnesses. I was one guy who did not laugh. I laughed at those who were laughing at him. So that last year, when they said we have become number one economy in Africa, I wanted to call those people back and say, you were laughing that time. And that we are still going. We are moving. Listen, by the time we finish power sector reforms, you know the reason why we only jumped to the top? Let me tell you what happened. What happened was that for the first time, they calculated the value of our telecom sector. Added it. Home videos, you know, Nollywood. By the time they added that one, we shot above everybody. They have not yet added the value of the rice. You know, Nigeria is near self-sufficiency in rice production. They haven't added that one. When these power plants we have built, we have prophesied into existence around here, when they are built, listen, the word came to my mind. In a short while, they will tell you that Nigeria's economy is more than that of half of Africa put together. Amen. Yeah, you know there's California, United States. I don't know about now. Those days, as a state, if you abstracted them, they were the fourth largest economy in the world. That is, you take them out of the United States, they become the fourth, just a small state, just a state in the US, one state, the fourth largest economy in the world that time. So such things happen. I'm explaining something. So you see, we are of the world, not of the world. The reason why we do our things are different. Listen, that was the first time. I'm bringing an issue here. You can't count wealth as a Christian the way Forbes magazine counts it. It's forbidden. The man who gave out his own 50 million naira, 100 million naira, and today doesn't have any cash, is just as rich in the eyes of God, possibly. I don't know who's richer, but you get what I'm going to bring out. As the man who invested his own is now worth a billion. I always tell people that when they say, okay, build a house has good returns. I say, listen, I am not a property developer. I pray people will understand what I say. Many times our problem in life is that we are plain and simple, worldly. We feel small when we follow to our friend's house who's just dedicated a building and we don't have one. We feel small. We feel small. If your friend comes and says, let's go somewhere, and he gets there, you know, he brings out his key and goes, chum chum, look at his car. A brand new SUV, and you don't have. You know, you feel small. Suddenly, you don't want to go out again. Suddenly, you're expecting somebody. Suddenly, you have to ease yourself. So, you know, because your body cowers inside, suddenly feel, you see, my failure manifested.
That is worldliness. What did I call it? That is what it is. And that is why sometimes a man, a woman, who is supposed to be counting his investments by giving, are you getting what I'm saying? He's not. He's looking around and says, see, other people are building houses. Let me too build. He becomes rich materially and becomes poor spiritually. Listen, for us believers, we understand. What we are doing outwardly is valued only by the spirit behind it. That is one side of wealth. I need to understand. Many Christians have taken the silver and gold that God gave them, and they are now serving the world, idols with it. Listen, that is what they are doing. That is why, let me tell you something. You know, there's a book I bought, Spiritual Thoughts on Material Things. My wife was reading yesterday. I said, this man finished tithing. You know, this Christian thing we call tithing. How many of you have heard of tithing before? Listen, go and read my book, So Who Will Pay for This? No, sorry. Grace to Prosper. In the last segment of it, I wrote a segment on tithing. And I want you to read it. I wrote that thing many years ago. I have studied some more since that time. I have had no cause to change my mind. If anything, I have become stronger in some of the convictions. I've heard men who know the scriptures more than me speak, analyze it, and they have confirmed that what I said is true. Men who know scriptures. The man said something in that book. The man wrote the book, Spiritual Thoughts on Material Things. They called the man E.G. Links. Or J. Links. That's another name, J. Link. All right? Is it Link or Links? That's his name. The man said something. He said he dislikes the principle of tithing. You know why? He said it produces three kinds of Christians. Christians who are condemned, who say, hey, is my tithe complete? Did I pay the whole tithe? Devorah is after me, Devorah. You know? So that's one set. Then the second set of those who are self-righteous, who feel, yes, we have done everything that we are supposed to do. God now has to start blessing us. There's a third group. What's that third group, baby? Yes. He now said the third one is a group of proud Christians who says we have done far beyond tithing. We are too good. So those are that's why the man doesn't like it. Well, I may not divide the results like he did, but I particularly like the third group as part of my message today. Because many Christians, after they have given, they become proud. You know why? Because they are still worldly. They think it is a great thing that I gave. And I keep on explaining, if you're a true believer, it's nothing. It's like eating. Do you think it's possible for me to come out and say, I've eaten, praise the Lord, see my stomach is bigger than yours? You know, I can't do that. Because I understand, you understand, that I've just done what is necessary to do with food. In the same manner, when God gives you excess money than what you need, go and pray. I told you it becomes a problem. First, one thing is clear, you're not allowed to lay it up. It's for a purpose. Some people have a purpose. Their duty when it comes to money is to multiply it. And it's not about, don't let them deceive you that successful people have plenty of money. No. Listen. I know a lot about business. I know a lot about investments. I know a lot about business development. You know, I read a lot. You know, it has never crossed my mind that I wanted to be named as one of the richest men in the world. Do you get my point? It's a desire I've never had. I don't have it. I will not plan to have it tomorrow. I don't wish it for myself. I don't even wish it for you. Now, what I don't wish for you is the ranking thing. The ranking. But I know. Somebody say he knows. No, I didn't say he knows. I know. Say he knows. That's what I told you to say. Hey, you're talking about me. You're not talking about you. Say he knows. I know for sure that many of the people that are listening to me, by virtue of what they heard me say, we write checks for 1 billion naira and it's an offering.
And they are not shaking. It's not like, hey, praise the Lord, though. As we are giving that money, it was paining us. It was paining us. And I said, this offering doesn't pain you. It's not paining them. It's not paining them for two reasons. One, they have more than that. Two, they understand that it's just money. It's like giving out your shoes. Does it pain you? As I was giving out the shoes, it was paining me. I just said, this shoe, that you are still in secondary school. That is why giving out a shoe is paining you. These people have advanced in life. They understand God. They write a check for a billionaire. It's nothing. One, they have 20. They have 100. Or they have only 1 billion. But they said, that's the purpose for it. Let's do it and go somewhere else. Somebody say, he knows that for sure. Tell your neighbor, he knows. I am sure of it. That's why I told you, look, the one they were saying, Creflo Dollar is trying to buy a plane for $65 million. Listen, I have no problem. Like I told you, I'm not, if you ask me $65 million plane right now, I'll be very happy because I can sell it. I won't fly it. I won't even test it. Let's see how it feels. Because if you go and test it now, you get used to it. Now, how will I be that? So don't just, my people have a saying, don't sniff what you don't want to eat. So don't even sniff it. Where's the thing? Pack it there. I give a man an agent, sell it. 2% your own. Okay. To sell, yes. Give me the balance. They will do the will of God. I don't want... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? However, that's right now, However, if the day comes and I decide that a Gulfstream is what I want to fly, I will buy a Gulfstream. I just say, Udechukwu, coordinate the arrangement. I need $65 million for a Gulfstream. And all he will say is, yes, sir. Please, say yes, sir. Let me hear you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. It's when you start announcing the whole world, I need 200,000 people to send me $300 each. That is what is causing confusion in the society. Do not be abusing you. How can you be taking from the poor to buy a jet? I agree. Why should you take from the poor to buy a jet? I agree too. What I disagree with is that you shouldn't fly a jet. Hey, wait, that one is, I disagree. Fly a jet if you have the money. And if Udechukwu will coordinate it and buy me a Gulfstream for $65 million, I will fly it. And if I don't fly it, God will punish me. That's not a joke. I'm not kidding, though. Mr. Pastor, what do you mean? When they poured a private jet on the head of Jesus Christ, he said, Judas, shh, 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 shh. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Listen, money as an example, I use it as an example. There is a reason why God gives it to Christians. There is a reason. There is a reason. It is the misuse of it that is a problem. That's what God is complaining about. As Christians, we can't use our money the way the world does. Next time I'll talk about it. You are rich in the world does not mean you become automatically a kingmaker. You start sponsoring politicians. It can be your job. It can be. But it's not automatic. I think it's rare anyway. It's pretty unlikely. But it's possible. But I think it's very unlikely. You don't take your money because you are a Christian. You are wealthy now. Suddenly you start flouting the law. They say, everybody stop on red. They say, do you know who's driving? Who's driving? That is when you start using the wealth that God gave you to serve the, to serve idols. That's the point I'm making. The second side of gold and silver, which I want to talk about, but because of my time, I'll stop now. But let me just introduce it. Gold also refers to what? Faith. The Bible talks about the trial of your faith. It's like you have been purified as gold. Gold refers to faith. Next time I'll talk about it. You have to be careful because everything I told you has what? A purpose. I want to explain something to you next time. Or you must be careful not to turn your stones to bread. You know, I keep on saying that thing. You must be careful not to turn your stones to bread. Many times Christians turn their stones to bread. They learn a few principles of faith. What are they now using the faith for? Like I said, instead of using the faith to walk above sin, instead of using the faith to cure themselves of addiction and unusual loss, they won't. They use the faith. They are calling car, calling house, calling money, calling wife, husband, calling all kinds of things. The fellow has not stopped lying. He's using faith to call car. Use your faith to say, even though I die, this mouth will not tell lies. You don't know you need to use faith for that. They take the gold and the silver. They are drawing on wall. Write it, draw it on your wall. Draw a Lamborghini. Draw the roads that you drive it on. Begin to call it Lamborghini. Does it work? Maybe. Is it good? No. Your testimonies don't make them right. I stood there, brother. I began to call. The first year I called. Second year, on car. You are still calling. Just say, God, I don't like this kind of thing. Call something else. Productivity. In Jesus' name, I'm productive. I'm a blessing to people. Then you will have plenty of money. Listen, I prefer to buy car than to pray for it. I'm telling you. It is better. I'm telling you. It's not as if we won't pray. We'll just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for resources. Thank you for ability. Thank you for need. Thank you for supply. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, cost charities. How much is that car? 8.5 million. Okay. Here is a check. Send it to my office. Is it okay? Yes, sir. That's a better way to pray. Any car you have to use 2 years to claim it, you can't maintain it. Trust me. Trust me, you can't maintain it. Because the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. If you use 2 years prayer to get the car, you every month, one engine oil, 2 weeks, 1 week prayer for engine oil. When you want to change the tire, that one at 1 month. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, that is one misuse of God's silver and gold that we'll talk about again next time. This faith that God has given us has a purpose. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.